Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Samantha Cruz.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for London.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate it. If you haven't rated the show yet, we would love it if you think we've earned 5 stars. Maybe you can give us a 5-star review, write a little something nice about us. If you want to connect with me, the best way to do it is the website, macroaggressions.io. Or you can find me on social media where I argue with robots on X, and not so much on Facebook anymore. Although we're on Instagram. I don't manage that account, but if you want to take a look, macroaggressions_podcast over there. Big thanks to our sponsors. They make this show happen. We could not do it without them. Chemical Free Body has been with us from the beginning, and we really do appreciate their work. Tim James is insane about chemicals, keeping them out of his products. If you're looking for supplements that actually do what they're supposed to do, Chemical Free Body is a great place to go and take a look. 90-day detox bundle. Oh, I've done it twice. It works. If you're looking for something to lean you out, it works. It's real easy too. It's green 85 in the morning, which I do anyway. And then it's just a handful of capsules that you take, four different types of capsules. You take that in the morning, you're done. It's like you're done in 5 minutes. It's really about the easiest thing you can do. The question is, have you decided that you are ready to take control of your health? If you are, go to chemicalfreebody.com and use the discount code MACRO on your way out. And also, we appreciate the help of Legal Shield, who've been in business for the last half a century in the United States and Canada. They'll get you access to an attorney in your area for a very reasonable price. How about $1 a day? $30 a month. That's pretty reasonable. You can knock out all kinds of things, documents, last will and testament, medical directives, financial powers of attorney, things like that. All the stuff you've got to have. If you don't have a will and you die without it, then the state gets involved in your affairs, and you know how bad that can be. So if you don't want to spend a couple $1,000s to have an attorney draft all this up, consider doing it through Legal Shield. If you're a member, you'll get an app on your phone. You just click the button and tell them kind of what you're looking for. I need legal documents. What kind? They'll give you a drop-down menu. Tick, click, tick, tick, tick. It's super easy. Just submit, and then you'll get a call the next 24 hours from an attorney in your area who'll say, hey, come on in, let's do it Friday. Let's knock all this stuff out. It's the documents I need from you. And, you know, you got to do it. If you're an adult, you got to do it. But do it reasonably, right? You don't break the bank doing it. So go to the website that they built specifically for the show, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com, and see what you think. There's all kinds of things there. If you carry a gun, they have documentation for that. If you run a small business, they have a small business legal department for you. I mean, there's a lot going on over there. So go to don'tgetpushedaround.com and see what you think. Well, I tell you, the name of this episode, you're going to look at the name of this episode and go, Bricks Plus Energy, Engine of the New World Order. And you go, oh, here you go. Here he goes again with his New World Order stuff. I will have you know, the name of this episode is taken directly from a report by the deputy head of the National Energy Security Fund, a guy named Alexei Gravash. He named it this. I didn't. I'm stealing his name for it. So the BRICS Plus Energy, Engine of the New World Order, this is a report that is very real. I've read it. I looked through it. I mean, it talks about, might not be the worst time to get a lawyer. Make sure you don't get sued for copyright infringement by David Rockefeller. I think he still collects a nickel every time somebody mentions New World Order in a public speech. But these guys in the BRICS, they're talking about maybe they're the New World Order, right? The engine of the New World Order, the new World Order. I forget. I don't know what we're going to refer to it as, but this is a report that came out the middle of October from TASS. It's a Russian news agency. That because of the sanctions that were put in place by the G7 countries, that Russia has been forced to pivot. We knew this. I mean, that's not breaking news. That what's really sort of the surprise is how successful the pivot was. And we've done at least a half a dozen shows on BRICS. And look, we're going to continue to, because if you're talking about globalism, new world order, world government, world governance, and the like, you're going to be talking about the Western faction, New World Order, rules-based order group that we're familiar with. But you're inevitably going to be talking about BRICS Plus, because they are setting this up to become a multipolar world in all of the, well, benefits and challenges that come along with that. It's not all great, of course. I mean, it's nice in the sense that you have a check against unchecked Western power, and we've seen what unchecked Western power will get you. So it is, on the one hand, it is nice to have some group that can come to potentially check the power, but you have to be very careful with this as well. So this is no solution to the problem. It may very well be just a secondary problem, right? And we'll get into this. What we're going to do with this episode is, they recently just wrapped up the 2024 BRICS summit in Kazan, Russia. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the oil components to this. We're going to talk about the dark fleet, the shipping crews, the shipping industries that are bringing this sanctioned oil. We'll get into that. We'll talk about the payment systems that they want to, you know, what they're talking about with regard to payment systems, meaning getting around the SWIFT banking system and what the solutions are for that. And lastly, we'll end with memberships, with where we are in terms of the newest batch of memberships. So it started off with four countries. It was BRIC. They added an S with South Africa, Brazil, Russia, India, China, now South Africa, right? So those were the first four. They got the fifth one a year later, and then that was kind of how it was for a decade. Decade plus. And then they added a few more to the list, one of the seven more countries to the list. One of them dropped out, Argentina, because of Malay. One of them is in limbo, that's Saudi Arabia. They have not committed to it, but they're in limbo. So five more are in. And then what we'll do when we get to the very end of this, I'll just list off everybody who's coming. And what we found out about them, but it's interesting that we've watched the American Empire just step on rakes over and over again when it comes to Russia and Ukraine. They were of some misguided belief that this was going to be a cakewalk, that Zelensky was going to be backed by not just, you know, the Americans necessarily, but NATO as a whole, of course, unofficially. Wink, wink, supported by NATO. You know, I mean, it's not a NATO member, but it's a proxy, and it's a condom used to fuck Russia, right? That's Ukraine. So, you know, bite for NATO. NATO just slips it on, gives it to Russia, and throws it off and discards it when they're done with it. So that's the reality of this situation. And I think that once Russia realized what they were up against in terms of the economic component, I'm not even talking about the military side of things, but the economic component, when they realized that, okay, well, the West is doing the sanction game. We sort of expected that. We had calls out to Iran to ask them, you know, how do we get around the sanctions? We knew they were going to slap sanctions, right? So Putin, that's a calculation he would have obviously made, but maybe not to the extent that they were able to rope in everybody and pull out Starbucks and McDonald's out of Russia, you know, and all the performative nonsense that they did to show their strength that the West is really against this unprovoked attack by Russia, which was, you know, obviously provoked for the 8 years before it happened, before the attack, but it was definitely unprovoked if you watch mainstream Western media. So, and then of course he makes a calculation. He watches the Nord Stream pipeline get murked by U.S. Intelligence agencies, right? So you make this calculation, you go, all right, well, that market is closed to us. They've closed the door to it, to us. Well, let's pivot. And Russia's pretty good at that. We watched them. If you took a look at the value of the Russian ruble during this time, the chart looks like a V. It cratered after the sanctions were applied, which is exactly what the U.S. empire thought it would do, right? But they didn't calculate that in its back pocket, Russia would announce a gold-backed currency. Gold-backed BRICS currency, right? That they would say, well, we're working with BRICS and we're working on a cross-border payment settling option that would be maybe even a basket of currencies, a gold-backed BRICS currency. And the United States went, and then wait a second. I mean, we're supposed to be the ones doing, and Bretton Woods, I mean, we're supposed to be the ones that are backing our currencies with gold. You can't do that. It's like, well, your currency is not backed by gold. The dollar's not backed by gold. It's not even backed by oil. It's backed by the military. It's backed by a woke trans military. That's the U.S. dollar. It's a fucking clown show. But it'll stay King Dollar for a while, simply based on its reputation and the momentum that it has and the fact that it's really hard to turn this aircraft carrier known as the U.S. dollar around. So it'll take some time, but when we get done, you know, talking about what the BRICS groups have done, and in this BRICS Plus Energy document that we went through, what you're going to understand that it is like death by a thousand paper cuts to the dollar, right? It's not one particular decision that is impacting it. It's a cascading effect. It starts with a couple countries deciding that they have the guts, might even be stupidity, to challenge the U.S. dollar. We've seen other regimes in the past try to talk about something like that. Saddam Hussein, oil for food, trying to get around U.S. sanctions. Muammar Gaddafi talking about a gold-backed dinar. You see how those things end, right? So if you're a country that decides to challenge the petrodollar arrangement, you do so at your own peril. But if you can do it at a time when the opinion of the general public is turned very much against the American empire, then you have a situation like we have now, where you can get a group of people, a group of countries, I should say, to make a calculation that they're better off circumventing the U.S. dollar system to the extent that they can, and moving away from it, and deciding, well, you know, this idea, especially if you're an oil producing country, and a lot of the BRICS nations are, you're making this decision. You go, well, we have a petrodollar arrangement, right? Everything that OPEC or the Saudis and OPEC decide to price has to price it in dollars. So if I'm in Bulgaria, I have to get U.S. dollars in order to buy oil. Like, you know, like it, I don't have the choice to use other currencies. I have to pay for it with dollars. And of course, that makes dollars valuable. You've got to have them. So everybody's got them and they're valuable until they're not. And part of the reason why they're valuable is this forced purchase program of oil with dollars. And that's a 50-year arrangement that has recently expired. It's gone away. And it doesn't exist anymore. And when that was 50 years. I mean, when they put that in 73, Kissinger, Rockefeller, the like, you know, Nixon, those guys, when they took us off the gold standard and we brought to the kingdom this idea of the petrodollar. Well, that was at a time when the United States was buying 2.5 million barrels of oil a day from the Saudis. They're buying 300,000. No, doesn't make sense. It's not, we're not the top buyer anymore. China is, you know, we're not in a position to offer our protection services. Nice country you've got here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it, like we did in the 70s with Saudi Arabia, because now we're kind of a clown show. And Saudi Arabia says, what are you going to do? Invade us with your army of transvestites? Sorry, what are you going to do? Not sell us weapons? We'll buy them from somewhere else. You know, we can get them elsewhere. You're not the only one who makes weapons, pretty much, but not exclusively. So we'll find them somewhere else. And so this is really where this document takes us, is this engine of the New World Order, energy. It's true. It always has been. It was the engine of the New World Order in 73 when they put us on the petrodollar arrangement. I mean, that is, you know, who put it together? David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger, George H.W. Bush, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the New World Order put the petrodollar arrangement together. So the idea that it's like engine of the New World Order, like energy dollars being used to fuel this machine, this is part two. Electric Boogaloo, because it's been done for the last 50 years. Now it's the BRICS' turn to do it. And considering the partners that they have, the energy production that they have, the GDP grouping that they have now, not just in the BRICS Plus, but once you add in the countries that are on their way, this is a real situation for the West. And really, they have nobody to blame but themselves. Because they forced these situations. They forced Russia into the arms of China and Iran even deeper because of this. And even forced them into some relationships with other countries that you don't normally think about, including India. Let's talk about that a little bit. Because this oil has got to go somewhere, right? And so if Western Europe's out of business, right? Then you got to expect the other countries to pick up the slack, right? And they did, and boy did they. The relationship between Russia and India is interesting. You know, the BRICS, Brazil, who doesn't get much play in this whole thing, to be honest with you, Russia, India, China, right? So that Russia, India part of BRICS, the original four, they have a very nice relationship with regard to the purchasing of oil. They always have. But that has taken on a much different tune recently. I want to read you some of these numbers. And this isn't ancient history. This isn't Russia used to sell India oil, a little bit of oil back in the 70s, and now they sell them a whole lot more now. No. You don't even have to go out of the Biden administration. 2021, 4.5 million tons of crude oil were sold from Russia to India. 4.5 million. 2 years later, just 2 years later, it went from 4.5 million to 82 million. 82 million from 4.5 to it almost 20x, 18 times, 18 times more. 18, not 18% more, 18 times more. So this idea that we're going to put sanctions on Russia and we're going to screw them up and mess up their whole economy. No, you're just going to change the buyer profile. Instead of them sending crude oil to other parts of the world, they're just going to send it all to India and China too. Again, same numbers, same time frame. 2021, Russia was sending to China, selling to China, 80 million tons, just about the same amount that they're now selling to India, right? That's 2021. It went from 80 million, 2 years later again, to 107 million. So again, these two countries, India and China, the two most populous, also two partners with BRICS, with Russia and BRICS, these two nations represent 78% of the crude oil that Russia sells. So again, if you're the United States or the American Empire and you want to put sanctions on Russia to cripple their oil industry, just understand that the very best you can do now is get access to maybe 22% of it. The remainder that's left over from the 78% that's already going to India and China and isn't going to change anytime soon. You can slap sanctions on Russia all day long. It's not going to impact their ability to send oil to India and China because they have trade relationships with them. They have agreements with them that supersede any sort of horseshit sanctions that the American Empire wants to put on them. It's 78% of Russia's oil. You know what it was in 2021? It was only 32%. So what they have done is they have made these three nations interdependent on one another. Congratulations. What a catastrophic error in judgment by the American Empire. If I didn't know any better, I'd say that they made this miscalculation on purpose. But I would have to be a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist to believe that. Also, this 2023 year, when I'm giving you all the stats for these new sales figures that Alexei Gravash gave us in this BRICS Plus Energy Engine for the New World Order document. So the Chinese are basically the new 1970s America, and the Saudis are now accepting Chinese yuan for oil. That would have never happened if George H.W. Bush was alive. That would have never happened. That would have never happened. He would have had the goods on them. He would have, you know, he would have done something. But it's just that things have changed. Things have changed because the American Empire has made them change. But Russia is better at pivoting and being flexible than I think the Americans anticipated. They had a lot of practice. I mean, they almost got the sanctions slapped on them, almost got knocked off the SWIFT banking system a couple years ago, and have been working to find solutions for that ever since. Let's get on to that too, because this is from the New World Order document. The author's concerned that they need to figure out a way to send and receive payments. This is, of course, making a calculation about the SWIFT banking system and sort of what that does. Let me read what he said. This is from the document. At the same time, trial agreements were concluded on the sale of Saudi oil to China for yuan, which underscores the need to institutionalize and systematize work on creating a sustainable system of payments and energy trade servicing within the BRICS, which will not be vulnerable to threats of unilateral sanctions or other unfriendly steps by the U.S. and its satellites in the group of developed countries. Okay, so this is, again, a reminder, this guy's Alexei Gourash, his title is, he's Deputy Head National Energy Security Fund. And so what he's saying is that when he says a sustainable system, in this particular case, he's not talking about like climate change or anything like that. He's talking about a system that won't get broken down, like an actual sustainability payment system. He's talking about SWIFT. He's talking about getting them off of the SWIFT banking system. And if you don't, then what happens is that everything, and by the way, SWIFT banking system is, it's an acronym. Of course, you know that. It's not even a good one. It's Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications. It's owned by the banks. But the SWIFT banking system, it's owned by the banks. It's located in Brussels. They started it in 1973. Gee, I wonder why they started it in 1973. Same year as the petrodollar arrangement, right? So this was the clearing system for the petrodollar arrangement. That's why it was formed in 1973 in Brussels. It's owned by the banks. It's a clearing and settlement process. It's been totally weaponized. But everything that you need, if you're sending a wire transfer internationally, it's going through the SWIFT banking system. All the banks are on it. There's a lot of KYC, know your customer components to it. I mean, SWIFT is beyond KYC, but it's the PayPal for nation states, right? If you want to electronically wire money from one place to the other, it goes through the SWIFT banking system for nation states. It does for individuals and corporations as well. I mean, but at its core, like I said, it was built in 1973. It wasn't built in 1973 to service the moon mission. It was built in 73 to service the petrodollar. That's why it was built. So it is reasonable for Alexei Gourash to say, you know, we need to find maybe like a different system than SWIFT, because if we're not doing the petrodollar, we're like the antithesis of the petrodollar arrangement. Hell, we're Saudi Arabia is selling oil to China in exchange for yuan. That is the definition of the petrodollar's dead. In that case, we've got to find something else. Reasonable, very reasonable speculation or calculation on his part. And he should. So that's kind of what, and we'll get to that. I've got a little bit more on that just in a minute. But they made a calculation on this. So they said, okay, we've got to find a way to turn this oil into some sort of currency that we can build. Well, first of all, we need to turn this oil into something. We need to sell the oil, right? And we need to find, because the apparatus that's been built to help nations, oil producing countries to sell their oil internationally is totally corrupted by the Americans. You can't use that infrastructure. You quite literally have to build out a brand new system because you can't trust the infrastructure, be it oil infrastructure or banking infrastructure, that's connected to it. It's too compromised. It's 50 years old and it's owned, it's controlled by the enemy, you know, as far as the BRICS countries are concerned. So one of the things this document takes into account is how they sell the oil, right? We've got to sell the oil, but how do we do it? Hell, how do we move it? Right? We've because everything shows up on radar and we know where all the boats are and you got to put, you know, it's all there. It's all tracked. Until it's not, there are ways around it, right? If there's a will, there's a way. And if you've got billions and billions of oil revenues sitting around trying to figure out how to get things sorted out, you're going to find a way. And it's interesting to notice that 80% of Russia's oil exports went to the Asia-Pacific region. India's imports from Russia have, just in general, I'm not even talking about oil, just in general, India's imports from Russia have increased 900%, 9x, just in the last 2 years. Again, so these relationships are getting stronger. America used to have a relationship with India. Remember that? I mean, we've been in bed with India for a long, long time. After the British colonized it and tried to capture those people, the Americans have had a relationship with them for a long time. Not anymore. Not a good one. The Russians have that. It's more valuable for them. And because of the geography, 80% of Russian oil stays in that region, of Asia Pacific. So it doesn't need, again, when you talk about sanctioning, this isn't that Russia needs to send oil to Antarctica. Russia just needs to send oil to China. They can do that through the Arctic. They can do that through the Pacific Ocean. They can do that a variety of ways. It's geographically, these places aren't that far away. And of course, we've done plenty of episodes on the Belt Road Initiative, which is connecting them even closer together. And so one of the things that happens with regard to the oil and in general in the world is that India, so this is how you, India buys a lot of oil from Russia. Now they buy a shitload more. And the reason why they buy a shitload more is because India has the refining capability to take crude oil, refine it, and make it into something else. But you know what also happens when you refine crude oil that comes from Russia and then it becomes something else? It magically doesn't have sanctions on it anymore. When you're India selling, you know, no longer crude oil, you're selling refined oil in a variety of forms and fashions out on the open market, and you don't have sanctions because you're part of the G7. You're part of the good guy. Hey, man, we're just India here. We're just selling. This isn't Russian crude oil, man. This is Indian oil. It's Indian baby oil going straight to Miami to Diddy's house. It's a different form of oil. Therefore, the sanctions don't apply and nobody fucks with India. All right. So what India's doing is they're saying, give us all this oil. Give us all that crude. We'll refine it and then we'll sell it out the back door. We'll make some money on it too. So they need oil. Of course, they'd keep it all if they wanted to, but they don't. So what you notice is that when you take a look at where the ships are going, there's a pipeline. There's a maritime pipeline, not an actual pipeline, but a maritime theoretical pipeline of ships that are going from Russia to India. They go through the Mediterranean, down through the Suez, down the Red Sea, and then they head east straight to India. Drop all that crude off there, let it get refined, then it's not Russian, right? So, and the way they do this is they do this in what is known as the Dark Fleet. That's the name that, it sounds cool when you call it the Dark Fleet. But they transport oil. They transport the oil through, now, regionally, you probably need to differentiate between who's a Dark Fleet member and who's flagged with is Israel, right? If you're gonna run oil down through the Red Sea, south down the Red Sea through the Bab el Mandeb and then through the Gulf of Aden, good luck to you. Good luck. Better not be flying any American flags or you go, oh, where's your boat? Based out of Liberia? Okay, who's the ownership? Oh, out of Tel Aviv? Yeah, we're going to blow the fuck out of that ship. You run that thing down the Red Sea. We'll have the Houthis light that thing up like a Christmas tree or a Hanukkah bush, whatever you choose. But it's coming. So they've made a price, the price to pay to take this through some dangerous waters. And funny though, the Russians don't seem to have any problem getting their oil through the Red Sea. Interesting. Tankertrackers.com. You can go to tankertrackers.com and this will show the route that the route flow of the Dark Fleet. So here's some numbers behind it. These are from Iran. So ships, Iran to China using the Dark Fleet. 1,504,054 barrels per day. Very, very precise numbers. And that's from Iran to China. From Russia to India, as I said, was becoming a real popular channel. 309, well, I'm just going to give you some, I'll round them. 390,000 barrels a day. 390,000 barrels a day
are being shipped from Russia to India. From Russia to China, that number is a little lower, 366,000. From Venezuela to China, 325,000. From Iran to the United Arab Emirates, 200,000 barrels a day. Which is interesting to think that Iran would be sending oil to a place that already has oil, but whatever. So what's happening here, which is smart and not to be, you know, obviously expected, is that Russian companies are forming companies in Dubai that are holding LNG tanker ownership. So basically the dark fleet ships, the tankers that Russia has to transport this oil to, the 390,000 barrels a day to India, the 366,000 barrels a day to China, the companies that they have that that hold the oil and natural gas that they ship, because they're Russian owned, obviously sanctions apply to them. So what's going on is that they're forming companies in Dubai and holding the ownership in Dubai. So now these ships coming through, they're like, well, these aren't Russian ships. These are flagged in Dubai. And you go, well, but you know, they're not, but they're Russian ships. You go, I don't know what to tell you, man. That company's not Russian. I mean, sure, the ownership of this fine Dubai LLC is some guy named Igor, but I assure you it's 100%, you know, or it's whatever it is in Dubai. If you don't, corporate secrecy is, you form a corporation in Dubai for a reason, right? There's reasons to do this. Matthias Ship Management. Are you familiar? You know, anyway, this is one of the groups that they formed. It's like, it's not Moscow Oil Shipping Incorporated. We're not, you know, it's not that. It's, you know, it's this other company that's definitely not doing what you think they're doing. But and you would flag it there in United Arab Emirates because it's a free trade zone. I mean, why not? So there's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of this going on. And you should expect it. And I think the American empire knows that the sanction game is, you know, it creates havoc. But it doesn't stop the flow. There's workarounds, of course, and especially if your friend is Iran, and Iran's been dealing with sanctions for, I don't know, ever, and you can ask them, hey, how do you deal with this stuff? How do you get around this? They say, well, we do have all these ships. Nobody knows. We put them in. They're under all these corporations that have no connection to us. We run it through, I don't know, double Irish banking formation and put a fucking bank in Luxembourg, and nobody knows. You know, I mean, if you want to wash money in this world, there's plenty of ways to do it. And these guys would know how to do it. So I'm not surprised that this is how it gets done. But the idea that, like, America slaps sanctions on Russia and then Russia stops selling oil, that is preposterous. That did not happen. America slaps sanctions on, and the West, the G7, slaps sanctions on Russia, and then Russia pivoted, and their oil exports are just as strong as they've always been, maybe even stronger. The Western sanctions have accelerated the de-dollarization, so they brought this on themselves. You know what I mean? This behavior, the American empire's behavior, is reprehensible. So, I mean, you can't act surprised when other countries start looking for ways around this. Let's do a little bit of a geography lesson here for BRICS Plus. I'm going to give you the names again. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, you know where those are. The newer ones, Egypt, Iran, United Arab Emirates, Ethiopia, and then Saudi Arabia, we're going to leave them on as a question mark, and Argentina was on the list, but now they're off. Let's talk about the maritime choke points that these countries are just geographically important due to, and let's talk about where we're going from here. So if you have a map, if you know the Middle East at least a little bit, probably helps if you've been there. Egypt has the Suez Canal, and the Suez Canal is the connection between the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea, that thin north-south sea that separates Africa from Saudi Arabia. And of course, Egypt, controlling the Suez Canal, controlling who gets to go to and from the Red Sea and the Mediterranean, is has always been an important geostrategic location, as much so as the Panama Canal is. I mean, so there's no secrets there. If you control the Suez Canal, you control quite a bit. And of course, Egypt has that. Iran is a new member here. Iran has the Strait of Hormuz. Iran is on the eastern side of the Strait of Hormuz. The country on the western side is the United Arab Emirates, also on this list. So both sides of the Strait of Hormuz are under control, meaning that if any oil that sails out of the Persian Gulf needs to come through the Persian Gulf, it needs to get around that little kink that's called, it's the Strait of Hormuz. If you take a look at it, it's where the flow out of the Persian Gulf gets very narrow. It's 20 miles wide. And if you control that region, you control who comes in and out of the Persian Gulf. If you're friendly, you can come and go as you please. If you're the enemy, you're not getting in. So this is a major strategic location, maybe the most strategic location in the world to have control of. Because if you get on the wrong side of the people that control it, they won't let you in. They've got both sides covered. And by the way, if Saudi Arabia does eventually join in, then you've got the same situation with the Red Sea as well. So now you're just basically locked out. So Saudi Arabia as a peninsula that comes down, you've got the Persian Gulf on the east, you've got the Red Sea on the west, and if Saudi Arabia does in fact join BRICS, then both ends are completely covered and locked down for, in terms of oil transportation. You won't be able to stop them from getting their oil out, and you won't be able to get in if they don't want you in. They can just, all they have to do is say, we're just going to shut down the Strait of Hormuz for everybody, including us. We'll put mines everywhere. We'll just mine the shit out of it. And you can sail a boat through there if you want and go straight to the bottom of the ocean. We'll pull those mines out when we decide we want to sell oil. Maybe we'll start selling oil at $300 a barrel. But we'll decide that. Of course, the American Empire will have collapsed by then, and it'll be a total mess. But just to understand, this is part of the reason why these companies are being brought in the order in which they're being brought in: energy supplies and maritime choke points. If you've got those, boy, you really control the world. America controlled oil through the banking system. This is a control of oil through geography and political allegiances. So, I'm looking. So full control, again, just to explain what full control of the Persian Gulf would mean. That means that you have Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Iran, United Arab Emirates too. All of those groups come through. That's OPEC. And if you decide that you don't want any oil from OPEC to flow, it stops. That's important. And again, to put this in perspective, the current GDP of these BRICS plus nations is $60 trillion. This is not an inconsequential group of countries. This is about the only group that could challenge the Western New World Order would be the Eastern version of a New World Order. And it's no surprise as to why they named the paper what they did. So I said I would talk a little bit about the future of like where this is going, because who's coming, who's joining. I'll end with a summary of what happened at the 2024 Kazan meetings this year. But there's some countries that are interested in joining BRICS, and they're in various stages of this. But the list is Algeria, Bahrain, Bangladesh, Belarus, Indonesia. These are countries that have shown interests, as well as Afghanistan, Cuba, Mexico, Angola, Democratic Republic of Congo, Sudan, Senegal, Tunisia, Uganda, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Pakistan, Turkey, Honduras, Kazakhstan, Nigeria, Syria, Thailand, Uruguay, and Zimbabwe. They've all expressed an interest in joining BRICS. There's not going to be a test on this, I assure you. But these are countries that are like, well, I mean, geographically, maybe this works for us, or we don't love the American Empire either, or we want some of that oil. We're going to need some of that oil. Like, this might not be the worst thing. Or, oh, the American Empire has treated you poorly. Yeah, we know a thing or two about that, Cuba. Right. So Afghanistan. So, yeah. Yeah, we don't want to get invaded and have somebody come and steal all of our lithium or all of our cobalt, right? Democratic Republic of Congo. Get in here and protect us before the American Empire discovers that we need democracy spread on us. So this is it. Now, geographically speaking, some of these don't really make a lot of sense. Like, I don't know that Nicaragua being a part of BRICS is as logical as Kazakhstan being a part of BRICS, but whatever. I mean, it's still on the list, but and maybe it could be something as simple as it's the current administration of these countries is no fan of America, and they could lean towards like interest in joining BRICS, and that interest could change. By the way, as we saw with Argentina, Milei got in there, and you see his Zionist influence. They just went nope, and he said, "Okay, we're pulling out," because he's obviously like a captured Dudley Moore meets Donald Trump on cocaine or something. I don't know what you want to call Milei, but he's a clown who's utterly captured, and he's got the chainsaw and all that. Well, you've just taken the chainsaw to the your nation, really. You could have, you're picking the wrong side on this one. I'll be honest with you. I'm not interested in world government governance or any of that stuff. I think that anytime that these countries start clicking up, you're one step closer to a world government situation. But that being said, if you had to make a choice as to which team you were going to join, this would be the team to join, as opposed to the psychotic American version of the New World Order, which seems intent on ruining every relationship it's had around the globe, double-crossing every partner it's ever gotten into business with, and slitting its own throat before completely turning its currency into worthless monopoly money. Congratulations, yeah. So Argentina's going to have problems. Saudi Arabia would be... I don't know why they haven't committed to BRICS. It was one of the components that was very anticipated to get resolved at this meeting, and it didn't. It didn't. They sent, I think, finance minister to represent them there. MBS was not there. I guess we could read into that what we would. If they were committed and in, he'd be there. And since they're on the fence, they sent somebody else. My guess is that they're getting massive pressure from the American Empire and the Israelis and whoever else in the region likes to threaten Saudi Arabia. But maybe they'll join, maybe they won't. But the future of BRICS is bright, unfortunately, for America, for the American Empire. They're looking at this saying, this cannot stand. This consortium of countries cannot stand. But the problem is, what are you going to do about it? You can't do anything. You can't break them up. You can't break this thing up. You can't invade all of them. You lost a 20-year war. You, the American Empire, lost a 20-year war to a bunch of goat-fucking sandal wearers in Afghanistan, okay? We took $1 trillion a year military in there and got our asses kicked. So this idea that America is just going to throw its weight around and break up these alliances and show everybody who's boss, man, those days are gone. You can't even keep Saudi Arabia from selling their oil in exchange for yuan. You think you're gonna break up BRICS? Good luck to you. Shanghai-based NDB, New Development Bank. New Development Bank is the BRICS bank. New Development Bank, and it's going to be the main investment driver for BRICS going forward. It's like after Bretton Woods, when the IMF and World Bank were created, that's the same thing. That's what this is. The New Development Bank is essentially like the IMF of BRICS. And BRICS Pay is coming to member nations. And it's like a debit card, like Alipay in China. Yeah. Yeah, BRICS Pay is coming. It's already on the drawing board. I've seen it. BRICS single currency is not coming, though. The BRICS pay, like a debit card, like I said, that's coming. But in terms of the single currency, not yet. Not yet. Putin teased it a little bit. He showed a bill. He showed a mock-up of a BRICS bill that had the different flags on it, but it is not ready, and it might not be ready, and it might not be a single currency. It might not be a euro. It might not be a dollar or something like that. I mean, it might not be for retail consumption. It might be just something that is only used to for cross-border transactions and trade and things like that. That nation state type of deals, not retail level currency. We'll see. Okay, anything could change. You know, the gold backing. You know, you might get to a point where they do release a BRICS currency and it's backed by gold or a basket of currencies like special drawing rights or gold, silver, Bitcoin. I mean, who knows, really? I mean, we've seen at least an interest in exploring fiat currency backed by hard money or hard assets, meaning like gold. In Russia doing that, 5,000 rubles to a gram of gold. They already backed their currency. So we could see that happening. I wouldn't be totally surprised by it, but we'll see. BRICS infrastructure development projects. This is one of the things that they talked about. So there's a lot going on. The Russians are investing heavily in icebreaker ships. They're dominating the Arctic Circle oil routes. There's two components of this that they're working on for BRICS. One called the Northern Sea Route, otherwise known as the Arctic Silk Road. And for this, they have commissioned 7 nuclear icebreaker ships and 34 diesel-powered icebreaker ships. So they are very serious. If you take a look like an Arctic map of like Russia, they're geographically dominant just in general. I mean, the country is massive. It is essentially the Arctic Circle is like Russia and Canada. It's like, that's it, essentially. So they dominate this shipping corridor and intend to widen it even further. And they also have something called the International North-South Transportation Corridor. This is 7,200 kilometers. And this is Russia, Azerbaijan, Iran, India. And this goes through ships. This is for rail. And this is road as well, to the extent that it can be, right? So there's a lot happening here. It's 7,200 kilometers of this corridor, and they plan on running a lot of goods through there from Russia to India, however they can get it there. And this will probably eventually click in with the Belt and Road Initiative as well. These infrastructure projects, there's overlap between them when you start to see BRICS and Shanghai Cooperation Organization, the bank for Belt and Road, and you see the New Development Bank, the bank for BRICS, both Shanghai-based, both running out of the same sort of theme, mission. We're connecting these groups. We're building out a new infrastructure. We're building out a new Silk Road. Okay, we'll wrap with this. I told you I'd mention sort of what happened at the 2024 BRICS Summit in Kazan. It just wrapped up October 24th. There were 5,000 delegates there. I was really keeping an eye on it to see if anything major came out. And like I said, Putin unveiled the symbolic banknote, something to showing, you know, that, you know, essentially showing that the petrodollar arrangement is coming to an end. You know, for him to hold up that bill there, everyone just went, oh, is this the new petrodollar type thing? It's like, well, maybe. Maybe. But even if it isn't, it's a tacit admission that the old petrodollar is no longer the only option. That there are, even though this is a symbolic banknote, it still kind of sends the message that the dollar has competition. In fact, the dollar's got major competition. It has a lot of holes in it. And if you're holding your entire worth denominated in U.S. dollars, you do so at your own peril. So I would suggest that people consider diversifying themselves out of that and maybe converting it into something else, some tangible assets. I mean, what Russia's doing is they're turning it into gold. They're buying gold. They've been buying gold for a while. What China does, when China doesn't sell gold, they only buy it. They buy it and hold on to it. And of course, India buys a lot of gold too. They have their culturally, I'm not even talking about like monetarily in terms of banking or anything like that, but just culturally in India, gold plays a huge part. So there's always demand for gold in India. There's a lot of gold in Russia, and there's always demand for gold in China. So would it surprise me if eventually there was a gold-backed BRICS currency that was used as worldwide? No, it wouldn't surprise me. Would I be on board with it? Well, I mean, maybe more than the dollar, but fiat currencies are garbage, and they will eventually all go to zero. And you've got to back it by something. If they find a way to back it by gold, well, I mean, they might actually have the gold. If the American Empire said, "Oh, we're gonna back the dollar again by gold, and it's all the gold in Fort Knox, and it's just all right here behind us, and you're gonna have to take my word for it," I wouldn't believe them at all. I do think that Russia and China have a shitload of gold that they could use to back it, but again, fiat is fake; it's the head of the snake. So, They also discussed, okay, obviously one of the main drivers here was plotting ways to circumvent the SWIFT system as a topic of discussion during this week-long summit, and they discussed it. And one of the things that they said is the use of central bank digital currencies as a mechanism for clearing these transactions. So again, you might be going, yay, they're like challenging the American Empire and screwing up SWIFT, and these asshole bankers are finally getting what they have coming to them. They're a challenge to their grift that they've had for a while. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess, but if the challenge is BRICS and the option that BRICS is using to compete with SWIFT is to create a central bank digital currency that's fully programmable and lives on their, you know, runs on their rail system, on their coin rail system, and is controllable by nation states. Like, nothing about that appeals to me at all. I mean, you might as well just have the dollar if you've got that. In fact, having like the physical dollar would be way better than having a central bank digital currency that's programmable that could be set to expire. So the idea of them saying, hey, let's use CBDCs to get around SWIFT, it's not great. It's also not surprising. It is a way to do that. And so if you're looking for options, this would be an option. And But they mention how they don't want to be in a situation like he said in this quote, that this would not be vulnerable to threats of unilateral sanctions or other unfriendly steps by the U.S. and its satellite group of developed countries. Yeah, the United States wakes up one day and decides that they don't like you anymore and they're throwing you off the SWIFT system. And then you're like, now what? Well, what they're saying is, let's not sit around and wait for that. Let's build a different system. That SWIFT banking system is for the petrodollar anyway. And then since that's dead, it's a dead system. Let's build a new system with new technology. Well, what's the new technology out there? Central bank digital currencies. Well, let's explore that. Okay, so I understand why they're doing it. I don't love it. I don't love CBDCs at all. But I do understand. It is logical for them to be taking a look at this. Now, one of the things that they said that they wanted to focus on moving forward, two things: artificial intelligence and digitalization. They said that the BRICS countries intended to take the lead on artificial intelligence, not the G7. So you can ponder that if you'd like. What happens? Whose AI would you rather have running the world? The American empires or BRICS? Because that's really kind of what it's going to come down to, right? Because input, garbage in, garbage out. It depends on it's the input of these AI systems, right? So if you're building it with a slant from the American empire towards what it believes and how it operates and what it thinks is its duty and obligation on the world stage, and you compare that to what an AI system might look like that was run, that was built and managed and created by the BRICS nations, it might be something vastly different. And they intend to take the lead on it. They mentioned that. They said, we're going to be very involved. And I don't doubt it. Because again, this is a huge group. And they made some invitations at this. At the end of the BRICS summit, they invited some countries to join BRICS as partner nations. Right? This is a different step. I'm gonna give you the names of the 13 invites: Algeria, Belarus, Bolivia, Cuba, Indonesia, Kazakhstan, Malaysia, Nigeria, Thailand, Uganda, Turkey, Uzbekistan, and Vietnam. Now, those are 13 invites. Kazakhstan decided not to join for some reason. They got invited, and I don't know if you know, like on the map, like where Kazakhstan is. It's like right next to Russia. And they decided, thanks for the invitation, but we're not going to join. Russia immediately slapped sanctions on them. It was like, we're not selling you any of our stuff. They're like, God damn, like that day. So again, let's be careful and not cheer for a new superpower here, because they're probably going to use the same tactics that the American Empire used too. I mean, if what Russia did to Kazakhstan immediately, and I mean the same day immediately, then, you know, it seems like that might be a tactic they would use moving forward. So listen, let's wrap up with this. Hey, be careful about this group, okay? It's tempting to want to support the side that is working as a check to the American Empire, who's out of control and psychopathic and bloodthirsty, of course. So you might be tempted to sort of like, you know, hit him with a chair, hit him with, you know, but you got to be real careful, because this is a bit of pro wrestling, you know, and the enemies, you know, the good guys that you support may turn out to be the enemy someday, and vice versa. We've seen these roles reverse, you know, before. These aren't the good guys. It's just the new world order, right? And they're making their move to run the planet. So pay attention. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. If you haven't rated the show, give us a 5-star review if you think we've earned it. If you want to connect with me, macroaggressions.io is the place to do it. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.